Chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6. And let me ask you, since the passage is rather long, how many of you know the story of the four lepers? Can I see hands? It's not terribly convincing, so I think we better read it anyhow. Now, as a missionary, I try to avoid doing what somebody else can do. So I'm going to ask for two volunteers, one to read 2 Kings 6, verse 24 to the end of chapter 6, and somebody to read chapter 7, verse 1 to 11. May I have two volunteers? 2 Kings 6, 24 to the end of the chapter, and one, chapter 7, 1 to 11. Please, would you come forward? Thank you.
Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver, and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, "Help me, my lord, the king." The king replied, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor? From the winepress?" Then he asked her, "What's the matter?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son so that we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son.' So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Give up your son so we may eat him.' But she had hidden him. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes. As he went along the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. He said, 'May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today.' Now Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. The king sent a messenger ahead, but before he arrived, Elisha said to the elders, 'Don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it shut against him. Is not the sound of his master's footsteps behind him?' While he was still walking to them, the messenger came down to him, and the king said, 'The disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?'"
Now, chapter 7. Then Elijah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die." And they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses the noise of a great army. So they said one to another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried away some from there also and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing what is right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied, and the tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside.
Thank you very much. I would encourage you to read the rest of the passage at home. Obviously, our time is a bit limited. We start out, like so often, with bad news. I realized how much bad news there is traveling around. We haven't heard news for nearly 3 weeks. It's been wonderful. It's been peaceful. It's been quiet. When we get back to Paris, you'll hear a lot about scandals, about embezzlements, about murder. The same sort of thing that you hear about here. In this story, the situation was about as bad as it could get. Now, don't ever say it couldn't get worse, because quite often it can get worse. But it was pretty desperate. The Syrian army, or according to your version, it may be called the Aramites, I suppose you would have to call them, surrounded the city. It was an immense army. The city was totally blocked off. Nobody going in, nobody going out. But the worst of it was, no food was going in. And by, there was a tremendous famine. It says here that the famine was so great that the donkey's head was sold for what would be the equivalent of 2 pounds of silver. Now, I've not had the privilege of eating donkey's head to my knowledge, but I don't think there would be very much there that you could eat. And I'm not quite sure how much 2 pounds in weight of silver is worth today. But you can imagine there was nothing for the poor and there was very little for the rich. Not only was there famine, but there was cannibalism. Now, some of you people have children. Some of you women, can you imagine that here are two ladies, neighbors? They make a pact. Okay, we'll eat my son today and we'll boil yours tomorrow. I have heard of women dying for their children, but I have a very hard time imagining a mother wanting to eat her own child. And yet they did it. And the next day, the one was yelling, "It's not fair, we ate mine, now where did you hide yours?" And they went to complain to the king, or I should say the one woman went to complain to the king because she thought she had been cheated out of her right. Cannibalism is bad enough, But when there is not even any shame about it, things get pretty bad. The king said, if God isn't going to help you, what am I going to help you with? I haven't got any solutions. And usually when there are very real and serious problems, government hasn't got any solutions. If God doesn't help, woe unto us. Except they had one solution. Well, the fault of the church. Elisha, it's his fault. I'm not quite sure, I can't follow how it is his fault. But anyway, we're going to shorten him by a head, as if that would solve anything. Bad news. Whenever God does something, it seems to start always with bad news. Outside of the city wall, there were four lepers. They were in worse shape because bodily they also were in a mess. But before we get to them, the surrounding army also got news. Very interesting news. Imagined news. God made them to hear something. It sounded like wheels and horses. And they imagined that the king of Israel had hired others to come with their armies to rescue them. Now, whenever you imagine news, it's very interesting that you have absolutely no sense. They didn't think about it that nobody could go out. How are you going to hire somebody if you can't bring a message to somebody else? But they heard something. They imagined it was something much worse than what they heard. And the result is they all ran like crazy. If you think for a moment how stupid they were, the meal was still standing on the tables. They left their horses tied and ran. Now you and I know that you can go a lot further and a lot faster on horseback than running. But they were in such a panic that they didn't think. They didn't even have time to untie a horse, which doesn't take very long. It reminds me of Angola. In 61, when terrorism started up in the north, everybody was a bit edgy. Well, things calmed down for a bit. And then one day, they were all running past my door, and I finally had managed to stop one to say, what's going on? He said, run, run, run. I said, well, what's the matter? The terrorists are coming. They're 2 kilometers, that's just a bit over a mile, away. Run! I said, well, keep going, I stay. Don't ask me what they had heard. Somebody had heard something, imagined something, and the whole countryside ran. The terrorists were 900 kilometers at 600 miles away. That is imagined news. You can imagine what they were like when they found out they had run for nothing. The four lepers outside the walls were in bad shape. They had nothing to eat, exactly like those inside. And they finally said, look, why do we sit here till we die? We can't do anything worse than what we're doing now, which is sitting still. If we go into the town, well, at worst we die, because there's nothing to eat. If we sit here, there's nothing for us but to die, because we don't get any food. If we go over to the enemy, they can't do any more with us than kill us at the worst, and maybe we might even find something to eat. So they went, and they found an abandoned camp. They came to the first tent. I sort of imagined they didn't quite trust things. You know, they, now watch it. Maybe they lay some trap for us. And they look, there's nobody there. And that food smelled so wonderful, they didn't wait any longer. And they stuffed themselves, like they hadn't stuffed themselves for a very, very long time. And then they couldn't hold any more. They saw all the gold and the silver, and they carried it away and they buried it. And I, wow, did you see a suit like that? Tremendous. They went to the second tent and started doing the same. And suddenly one of them said, now, just a second, we're not doing very well here. Not that there isn't enough, there's more than enough. There is a dying city, starving to death, and here there's more than the whole city could ever eat. If we keep all this to ourselves, there's going to be punishment. We must go and carry the good news that there's as much as they want. So they went. They weren't allowed into the city because they were lepers. So they had to yell up to the gatekeepers, there's plenty of food there. Come, get it. The gatekeepers took the message and yelled to the palace. It says they shouted the news until it was reported in the palace that there is as much as you would want. The messengers, to start with, weren't very wonderful. Lepers, they're not exactly the same as today. Lepers are, that's called, more correctly, Hansen's disease. Leprosy in the Old Testament was a whole slew of skin affections, usually highly contagious. But because of it, there were outcasts. God can use outcasts to be his messengers. Don't have to be pretty to be a good messenger. You've got to remember what the message is. Four had understood two vital truths that all of us need to remember. The first is, why sit here till we die? Let's go to the enemy. Now, if you don't know God through Jesus Christ in a personal way, you're still his enemy. In a sense, he's still your enemy. Well, if you sit here till you die, it's going to be terrible. If you go back further into the world, the only solution is you're going to die. But if you go to him, the worst that could happen to you is that you die. But instead you will find that the table is laid. And there's as much wealth, spiritual wealth, that you can ever get for the whole life. The second truth is this. If you fill up on what God has provided, then don't forget, it isn't just for you. This is for a dying world. And if we keep it to ourselves, then some punishment will overtake us. It won't mean that the news won't go out, because God is not short of means. But when I look at Europe, Switzerland, Germany, where they had forgotten that the good news is for the whole world, punishment has overtaken. Let's not imitate that, but let's imitate some of the others that have taken the news to a dying world. You can be messengers of bad news. it is bad today in the world. And I usually say to people, cheer up. The worst is yet to come. And I know that that is true. Or you can hear something and imagine all sorts of things and really panic people. That is also possible. Or in the midst of all that awful situation, you can say, yes, but there is something that is prepared. He has prepared it for all, for the whole world. You can take that message. Maybe not all the way to Africa. There was a relay in this passage. Maybe there is a relay. Maybe if you can't go because you're 95, you could motivate somebody that is younger to go and take the good news to a lost world.